grace and peace and love, my friends, from my home to yours. Welcome to worship on week 14 of this at-home edition. I hope that you are staying safe and healthy and well, and all of your family. And what a gift it is to be able to journey together in this new format. I want to say a special thank you to all of you because on Thursday, June 25th, marked my three-year anniversary from when you called me to be the senior pastor of Pine Street Church. And I just want to say thank you for your love, for your support, for your leadership. And I feel so lucky to be able to make this journey with you. So thank you, and thanks be to God for 3 years already. It's gone by kind of fast in some ways, right? Let us begin today with this prayer on our lips and in our hearts. O God, open our eyes to see things we have not been seeing but want to. Open our hearts to your love and your grace that is so critical to our world and to who we are as your followers. Open our ears to hear some things we have not been hearing but need to. And open our arms wide to receive your good presence in this time of reflection and learning and worship. In the name of the one who calls us to love that really is love, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so Starbucks has the siren, you know, the twin-tailed mermaid, not just a plain old mermaid, you understand. Geico has the gecko. Apple has the apple. American Airlines has the eagle with two A's. Nike has the swoosh. McDonald's has the golden arches. And then there are beloved Denver Broncos. As my colleague and friend Ann Scalfaro put it a few years ago when I was the executive pastor at Calvary Baptist in Denver, and we developed a new logo and tagline for Calvary. We talked about this, and she said something so interesting. She said the Broncos logo has had five main iterations since 1960, beginning with the uninspiring mustard yellow and brown logo and moving to the orange crush logo of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, the horse coming out of the big orange D. And then currently, the Broncos have that navy blue outline of a Broncos head topped by a thick orange mane. I know, deeply spiritual, right? Simple, but whatever the logo is, the point is when we see it, we know what it is. And we all know products have logos, restaurants and businesses and sports teams have logos, and frankly, so do churches, including Calvary and including Pine Street Church. A logo is created for a specific brand or company or organization, and it appears on all of its products. And so 2 years ago, we at Pine Street Church adopted a new logo and tagline. Of course, the last 3 weeks we've been focusing on what I've called six-word sermons: embrace everyone, Say it with me. Embrace everyone, inspire life, create more. And all of the things that we've talked about in terms of the Pine Street Church spiritual mantra, now today focusing on our spiritual logo itself, all of that is marked in, for example, all the free swag bags that we have given out over the last couple of years to all of our guests. And a couple of years ago, that first Sunday when we rolled out the new logo and tagline, all of our Pine Street Church members, fellow Pineheads. So now you see it everywhere, and every time we send out communications like this digital worship experience, the Pine Street Post, our website, our social media channels, flyers, brochures, you name it, when you see it, you know it now, I think, after a couple of years. And when you see a piece of paper with a logo on it, you know it belongs to Pine Street Church. And so the community, in some sense, we are building trust. It's a spiritual act of trust in many ways, because when you see it, you know what it is. And so I've said the word logo, but when it comes to our church and that Celtic cross, that hand-drawn Celtic cross spiritual symbol, that's really more what it is, a spiritual symbol. And it has all sorts of deep and wonderful meanings within its design that you don't always kind of see right away when you look at it. And what I mean is, this mark has meaning beyond what meets the eye. So if a picture is worth a thousand words, this spiritual symbol represents particular ideas and qualities about our community that say something deeper. Anthropologist Clifford Geertz said, meanings are stored in religious symbols and they are dramatized in rituals. And these religious symbols are believed by some to transmit what is known about the way the world is. I think that's a pretty good definition of symbols. So for example, when we celebrate communion, it's a ritual meant to say something deeper about our life with God and our life with one another, to taste and see that God is as good as Jesus says and shows us in the Gospels, or to use St. Augustine's understanding, to be worthy of its function, a symbol must propel people to be more proficient at loving God and neighbor. And that's the aim, the ultimate aim of symbols. And so while our culture is full of logos that propel us to reach for our debit and credit cards to buy something, what's missing the most are symbols that propel us toward the greatest commandment to love God and to love neighbor. As is the case for most all logos and taglines, they are not self-evident. They require a degree of interpretation, which is what we have been doing for the last couple of years and what we've been doing through key messaging like Embrace Everyone, Inspire Life, Create More. I also think of Jesus, for example, being a symbol of God. And yet Jesus requires interpretation too. And so as we continue to deepen into the meaning and live out and manifest the meaning of our own spiritual symbol, that is really up to us. It will be done and has been done by we, the people of Pine Street Church, giving meaning and definition to this spiritual symbol and to our spiritual mantra. So this, in some sense, touches on, in the corporate world, what they call customer perception as well as customer experience. In those market terms, but the perception part takes years to develop in terms of the community being able to recognize that spiritual brand. And I think we're at, again, another strategic moment to continue to explore and explain what this means so that our community, our spiritual organization, gives meaning to that symbol and that mantra by our actions instead of the other way around. Because rituals, right? Rituals and symbols are only as meaningful as we define them. And by we, I mean all of you, all of us. It is important to know what our symbols and rituals mean so that we can connect to them and so that we can say and articulate that meaning to other people. So over time, we internalize the meaning of symbols and spiritual mantras, and it becomes part of the DNA of who we are over time. And so, my dearly beloved, in that spirit, I want to talk a little bit again today about our new spiritual symbol, or it's kind of our still new spiritual symbol. And I want to thank our leadership council, which is the governing board of Pine Street Church, for encouraging me to revisit some of these core elements of who we are as a church. And for many of you watching who are just connecting with our church, who've just been finding us online through our YouTube channel and this at-home spiritual worship, I hope it's meaningful to you as well and helps you to understand a little bit better about who we are. So to this end, we will proactively show and tell what that symbol and mantra means. Because frankly, if you line up 10 people to react to a logo or to a symbol with no context or interpretation, you might get 20 or 30 different reactions and interpretations to it. So this is part the part where our actions and our identity as a church better give definition to what we're talking about. So today, a few details about this visual that you see pretty much everywhere when it comes to Pine Street Church. It's probably the most, I would say, the most custom Celtic cross you might ever see, and that's not easy to do. In fact, what you see as the spiritual symbol of Pine Street Church went through a gazillion different looks to get to the one we now have. And so there we are. Overall, you have the image of the cross, and of course, again, a deeper meaning within the cross. The cross, by the way, was what Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung once described as the Christian totality symbol. The Christian totality symbol. I think that's kind of nice. It opens for us the way of love. It opens for us the truth of love and the life of love. And it connects for us what has been considered opposite, or at least in popular spiritual imagination, opposites being heaven and earth, divine and human, the one and the many, God and all things. And so what we really believe as Pine Street Church is that there is nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred, and all the world is charged with the grandeur of God and the glory of God as a human being fully alive in this world. That's a quick summation of all the most popular quotes we have shared over the last now 3 years as I've been the pastor at Pine Street. So now I want to take a look, and you can see on the screen now, if we could pull that up, the spiritual symbol, the Celtic cross, and there are a few details I just want to point out. The first detail is that at the core, you have what looks like rings of a tree that are simplified. And these tree rings symbolize both history and tradition, as well as new growth. It says, in part, that we've been around for a while as a church, almost 150 years, by the way, and yet we are still growing and developing as a community from the inside out. I've mentioned many times over the past few years, the Spirit calls us not just to live from memory. The Spirit calls us to live from imagination. And the truth is, we do both, but it is both. There is nice symbolism at the very core of this Celtic cross that shows that with those tree rings. So that's number one. Number two, those three rings or circles you might see in this way. Number one, God being at the center, and then Christ as the next ring out, and then the Spirit as the final outer ring. And there we have that, that theme of threeness that's so important in the Celtic spiritual tradition. So we have Creator, Christ, and Spirit, and that ripple outward in ever-widening circles, leading us forward in our faith and leading us forward with the Spirit moving and inspiring us to live into the future and to live from that imagination. So number three, if you look closely, you can see a representation of branches coming out of the core of the cross with leaves, or you might see that as new life at each end. And there are three that blossom or flower left and right and upward. And those three points on the cross look like leaves, as you might be able to see, symbolizing growth, emerging from the center of that symbol or design, almost like a flowering cross representing new life that emerges from death. And finally, there is the lower bar of the cross as an interpretation, in some sense, of our roots. So we have four points on the cross that look like leaves greening and teeming with growth and life. And you may also notice that overall this cross has a kind of bold, rough, almost weathered look, but it's still warm and inviting at the same time. And that is because we wanted to signify the ruggedness and wildness of the Colorado landscape, and certainly the wildness of all creation, theologically, with the message of Christ's wisdom and love, which forms the deep meaning of any Celtic cross. When you kind of marry the wildness of creation with the wideness of Christ's love and grace. That is to say, Christ and creation go together. They're symbiotic. They are not opposite or separate from one another. They go together. So those are a few of the details to be highlighted in this spiritual symbol that you see pretty much every week if you tune in to Worship at Home Edition or read the Pine Street Post, this Celtic-inspired theme and design. And now let me say a few words about why the Celtic design ultimately spoke to me and then to our staff and then a few years ago to our Council of Ministries as being the best and final choice. First thing I just want to say is a few years ago, I led a small group that we sort of explored an alternative Christianity, and we studied it from a Franciscan perspective with the help of Christian spiritual guru Richard Rohr, himself a Franciscan. One of the things we learned from that study is that there are minority viewpoints within Christianity that need to be recovered and reclaimed if Christianity is going to be relevant and meaningful in a skeptical and disinterested 21st century culture. The same old message based on doctrines and dogmas and rules just won't cut it anymore with people searching for a way to be fully human, a way to be fully alive. And so that's an interesting thing to be reclaimed, and it is. There's a lot of spiritual renewal going on by discovering and rediscovering some of the Celtic way of Christianity. And secondly, this is where Celtic-inspired Christianity helps us to name and claim and reclaim that deep spiritual message that speaks to the heart of what it means to be a real live human being. And here's where I believe that this minority viewpoint of Christianity connects with our message as Pine Street Church and where we are in our age and stage of life, where we are geographically in Boulder, Colorado. And so, as I finish the message today, I want to say I'm indebted to my friend and mentor, Dr. Steve Shoemaker, who came to Pine Street Church for my installation service a few years ago and really has helped me think and influence me about talking points and understanding Celtic-inspired Christianity. So when you hear Celtic Christianity, you might think of it in two ways. First of all, St. Peter's sort of the patron saint of Roman Christianity. And then we sort of have the patron saint of Celtic Christianity, which is St. John. And so the first is listening for the heartbeat of God in all of life, not just in church and scriptures, but all of life. As Madeleine L'Engle has put it again, there is nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred. And Celtic Christianity listens for the heartbeat of God in Christ and in creation. So is there this sense that all of life is sacred and the world is to be both savored and saved in all of those kind and compassionate ways possible? And then there's the goodness of God in all people. We say every month in our affirmation of faith from the Iona liturgy, Iona being that tiny island in western Scotland that became the Mecca of Celtic Christianity in the 6th century, we affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. That is to say, we are all made in the image and the likeness of God, as we talked about in the week when we explored Embrace Everyone. So therefore, we believe in our original goodness or original blessing rather than that Roman dominant version of original sin. Everyone's heard of original sin, right? That's part of the dominant stream of Christianity. But what we miss out on is that sense of original blessing. So while there's no denying sin and evil in the world, right? Of course. We can also say that is not the deepest truth about who we are. There is something deeper and truer still of our original blessing made in the image and likeness of God. A third dimension of Celtic Christianity is as it's is the spiritual message of revelation. It says that we have two books of Scripture, creation and the Bible. An ancient theologian in the Celtic stream put it this way: Christ moves among us in two shoes, creation and Scripture. God reveals God's self in all of life. There's that theme, all of life, again. So after the Scripture reading in the Iona worship service, we say, and we say this every week after we read Scripture, for the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, thanks be to God. Sound familiar? And finally, if you think of what the logo of the Holy Spirit is, we usually think of a nice, lovely, calm dove. And yet, the logo of the Holy Spirit in Celtic spirituality is the wild goose, quite different from the Spirit as a dove, right? Again, my friend Steve puts it, the wild goose of the Holy Spirit is leading us out into the world. There's a wildness to it. It's changing our lives, ruffling our hair, propelling us into the world to the witness and to be the witness of God's grace. Yes. So, as a wild goose might say, honk, honk, my friends. God's wild spirit is alive and well through Pine Street Church. God's honk, honking in your own life too. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? We are living in exceptional times, unusual times, and we know it. But God's Spirit is leading us through to evolve and change and to adapt. And here we are with this whole world of opportunity in front of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the wildness of God's Spirit, through the wild goose even, that logo of the Holy Spirit, to propel us toward deeper love of God and neighbor. And finally today, I just want to say how lucky that goes deeper than the word lucky we are to be on this journey together, figuring stuff out, adapting, evolving, changing, and listening to the wild winds of God's Spirit up to a new thing in your life and in mine and in our life together. Because all of us, you and me, beautiful and wild and wonderful and meaning-filled symbols of God. Let it be so. And may we follow the leading of God's wild Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, thank you for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition on this June 28th. Again, I hope that you are staying healthy and safe and well during these unusual times. The work and life of Pine Street Church is alive and well and flourishing because of your generosity and your goodness, and because we believe in the mission that God has called us to at Pine Street Church, to embrace everyone, inspire life, and create more. And it's good to be on the journey together. As you go out into this day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, the grace to risk something big for something good, the grace to know that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. And so may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.